Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is June 30th, 2016. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address, as well as our email address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, so please pray about supporting airtime. Our program archives, remember, can be found at prophecyhour.com, and with the email address over there, you can email me with your phone number to call you about a prayer request, or you can send me the prayer request by email, and if you wish, we'll print it out, we'll take it to the Wichita Mission Church, and in prayer circle, we'll anoint it with oil, we'll pray over it, and then if you include your address, we'll even send it back. And we will not use your address for any other sort of solicitation. A lot of people do this, and it's a good thing. Anyway, on another note, I challenge everybody to share this program with at least two or three others. This particular program, you're going to want to share with hundreds of other people. Anyway, we remember that, it's Monday, it's July 4th, the Day of Independence. So remember to celebrate that. And I won't tell you that it happens to be my birthday, and I'm turning 61 that day. Remember, I won't tell you that. Anyway, on another note, I want to thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Beijing, China, Guyana, Kaduna, Nigeria, Cali, Colombia, Paris, France, Dubai, United Arab Emirates, Israel, San Jose, California, Newark, New Jersey, New York, Dallas, Texas, Plano, Texas, Denver, Colorado, Chicago, Illinois. This list goes on. In fact, I'm going to change to a new list next week, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners. That is, once our radio program gets to the podcast later tonight. And I want to remind you also, folks, most of you listen by podcast, and the podcast, we have to pay a yearly fee for that. And, you know, most of you know there's a lot of programs over there, 600 and some at last count. And so pray about supporting that, because I have to come up with almost $1,000 on the 16th to pay for that particular podcast. Otherwise, it'll go away, and that's where you all listen at. Now, prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, nor our guest's will. So please, Father, give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. In your Son's mighty name, Yeshua HaMashiach, amen and amen. Well, our guest for this program is Ishak Shapira. I came across this website while searching for radio guests. I was astounded at what I was seeing. I mean, here was a blood Jew writing a book entitled Return of a Kosher Pig. Well, looking a little closer, I saw the subtitle, The Divine Messiah in Jewish Thought. He was born and raised in a traditional Shepherdic Jewish home in Israel. After years of studying rabbinic Jewish texts, he found Messiah within the Hebrew writings. Far from a study of kosher dietary laws, the return of the kosher pig is an unprecedented journey toward the true identity of the divine Messiah, the one previously considered unkosher and unacceptable by Jewish people. This encyclopedia volume will surprise and challenge you with compelling words of Jewish sages and rabbis over the last 2,000 years. Rabbi Shapiro serves as a founding rabbi of Avanti Emuni, I ask him to pronounce it, international Jewish organization that is focused on the reconciliation of Jews and Yeshua. This is a big thing, folks. As you know, we've had a lot of people on here, and this has been going on for some time, as we talked about the Kaduri revival in Israel and talked to the rabbi in Israel. So this is a big thing. I pray this means that he can, that even the Gentiles, he can finally see the true Messiah from one of, well, Messiah's countrymen, one of his brothers, if you will. So welcome, Rabbi Shapiro now. Are you with me, Rabbi?
Shalom. Yes, I'm with you. It's great to be on your program.
Well, I'm really glad to have you, and I guess we start this off with the title to the book. I brought it up to some people, and it just completely threw them out. And they said, "Well, how can there be a such thing as a kosher pig? What's going on with this title?"
Well, I guess I should warn you and should tell you, I never even intended to write a book, okay? That was never my intention. I was raised in Israel in a traditional Jewish home all my life. And in my early 20s, somebody challenged me to look at the identity of the Jewish Messiah. Never heard about Yeshua, or as a Christian calling Jesus. Never had a care or thought about it, and I started the journey of looking on the issue of the Messiah through Judaism, not through Christianity, but through Judaism. And in the process of doing that, I started to write and turn literally every stone that I could in finding out, and almost like a forensic expert, trying to reassemble the portrait of the Mashiach, as we call him in Hebrew, the Mashiach, the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And as I done that, I discovered very interesting things about the Messiah, and specifically about Yeshua. So that took me about 15 years to do. Mm-hmm. And again, my starting point is really not Christianity or Messianic Judaism. It's truly just normative Orthodox mm-hmm. Judaism, okay? So I look through this, and as I look through this, I start asking my question, well, there's really one entity I can think of that fit all of those pieces, and it's Yeshua, really. And, of course, for a Jew and Yeshua is something, it's almost a paradox. How mm-hmm. can a Jew believe in Yeshua? That's the question we ask today. Well, 2,000 years ago, we asked, how can a Gentile believe in Yeshua? So something terrible happened in the last 2,000 years to reverse the question. So what I have done is I start to ask myself as a Jew, wait a second. What makes Yeshua unkosher to the Jewish people? And it is claimed for the divinity. The divinity right. and the deity is a difficult topic to deal with. So I've took all those notes that took me 15 years to put together, and I wrote the book, The Return of the Kosher Pig, and I'll get right. to the title in a second. But as a background to your audience, I suppose is, you know, I didn't know how the book will do and how well or poorly it will do in mainstream. And the one thing that I discovered, you know, is the book, you know, I was happy if I'll sell 100 copies. And right. in the first week I sold 1,000 copies, okay? And then the book kept on climbing in Amazon and other places to the top 10 Jewish books in the world. And it ended up being a phenomenal book that sold thousands and thousands of copies. Yeah, that's read by both Jews and non-Jews, by the way. And what I discovered is Jewish people are very interested in talking about the Messiah, talking about Yeshua or Jesus, just not the Yeshua or Jesus that portrayed by the Christians, okay?
Right.
They're interested in talking about the Messiah in their own term. So the premise of the book is actually fairly simple. There is a passage in the Psalms, in Psalm 146, by the way, it's a prayer that you said three times a day. And the prayer says something like this in the Psalms, says Adonai Matir Asurim in the Hebrew, which translated in English is the Lord is loosens the prisoners. Okay, that's one way to read it. But the word Hebrew is a unique language with dual meaning of words. The word for prisoner is also the word for forbidden, something that is forbidden. So one way to read the passage is like this. The Lord is taking something that is forbidden and is going to make it basically kosher again. So the rabbis have asked the question, what is forbidden and it's going to be kosher again? And the rabbi come with an answer, and they say, aha, the answer is big. Now, for an English speaker, that doesn't mean much. But in Hebrew, each word have dual meaning. And the word in Hebrew, pig, is the same word as the word return or come back. And it's rather fascinating that they continue to explain that the Messiah will resemble a pig. You know, and if you know something about Jewish law, you know Jews don't eat pork. You know, that's that is a picture of all uncleanliness. And they said not only that, they said the Messiah will resemble a pig. He will be unholy and unkosher to our people, but he will return and he will become kosher again. So I asked myself the question, wait a second, why is he not kosher today? If Yeshua or Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, why is he not kosher again? Why is he not kosher? What's making him not kosher? What can make him kosher? And what I have done is I put Yeshua on a trial. And this is almost like a second trial, reenactment of the second trial, first trial that has taken place. And in this trial, the unique thing, I have brought a merit of witnesses to talk about the case of Yeshua and why is he a pig, quote unquote, is a pig and kosher today to the Jewish people. And it really boils down to one thing. His statement, like he's made, I am the Father of one, I can forgive sins, whoever sinned me, sinned the Father. Those statements that every Christian know. And for the Jewish ear, you saw those things, a Jew have difficulties even accepting and reconciling those statements. So what we have done, we brought the rabbis of the last 2,000 years to testify actually for and against the case for the divinity through Judaism. And I am merely writing the book as a spectator. I'm a news reporter. I present the evidence and I let the audience decide how the case of the Messiah of Yeshua will come out. Because only when, at the end of the day, only when the Jewish people recognize him as the Messiah, he can actually be returning as the King of the Jews. And that's why it's so paramount and so critical. So that's a little bit about the history behind the return of the kosher pig.
Well, amen. That's pretty fantastic. I think one of the reasons why let me go with this. I don't know if you probably, as a Jew, you know who Rabbi Kaduri is and his... I know a rabbi in Israel that is using that book, you know, to win Jews over to Messiah. And the big thing that he tells me is that it's not so much that they know all about Yeshua, it's just that it's more lack of knowledge that they have about him anyway, because nobody has told them about it and told them that he was forbidden.
Look, it's partial truth. We know a lot about Yeshua, okay, in Judaism. It's just not the right Yeshua, if it makes sense to you. They have a book of fables about who Yeshua is, okay, and so forth. The issue is, is, you know, let me give you an example. Maybe it will make sense to you, maybe not, and especially to your audience if they're not familiar with Hebrew. But Hebrew is also a language of numbers, okay?
Right.
Let me give you an example or from the scriptures. In the scriptures in Numbers 21, it says that Israel was dying in the wilderness because they were complaining. And as they're dying, God says to them to make a serpent of bones, okay? And as they look at the serpent of bones, they're healed. Now, there is something very perplexing about it, because the Lord said not to put any image before him. But then in Numbers 21, he's saying, make a bone serpent, and they are healed. How do we understand this? How do Jewish people understand it? You know that the Hebrew word for serpent is the word nachash. The word, when you think about serpent, you think about something that is evil, something that is unholy, something that represents Satan. You know, the serpent, the garden, everybody think about the story of the garden and the serpent. But do you know that the Hebrew word nahash, serpent, is also equivalent in Hebrew to the name Mashiach, Messiah?
Really?
In Gematria, it's the same word. Serpent and Mashiach is the same word. And you ask the question, how can it be? How can it be the serpent Messiah is the same word? Here is the answer. There is a principle in Judaism that explains the things that are externally appear very, very dark, very evil, and in their internality, they are actually hold the highest spark of what we call in Hebrew Kedusha, the holiness. And the same is true about the Messiah, okay? Yeshua, think about the calamities that were brought upon the Jewish people the last 2,000 years upon in the name of Jesus. You know, crusades, inquisitions, pogroms, etc. All happened in the name of Jesus. Okay? It is absolutely shocking that the same name will bring salvation to the Jewish people, because in the externality of the matter is that he appeared unholy and unkosher to the people. But when he revealed himself to the people of Israel, finally, he will be holy. So what we have to do today, we have to do what we call in Hebrew a tikkun and a repair, and I hope your audience understand that this is not a Jewish thing. It is a thing that every follower, true follower of Messiah has to do, have to repair and restore the name of Yeshua. And that's what we have done, tried to do also in the book, through the book. And how do you repair it is making Yeshua kosher again by freeing him from the association with Christianity. Yeshua was not a Christian. Yeshua was a Jewish rabbi. He was the greatest Jewish rabbi that ever lived. And the fact of the matter, we cut him from his Jewishness for 2,000 years. And because of that, he is today guilty by association. You know, you see a picture of that so clear in the Hebrew writing, in the end of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah gives this final prophecy in Isaiah 63, and he says that as Messiah, it's called a day of vengeance. And in this day of vengeance, he says, why are you dressed in red? Why is it that you dress in red? And he's taking a vengeance over Edom, okay? Now think about this for a second, Pastor. Edom, or red, who is the one that is called red in the scripture? The one that is called red or Edom in the scripture is Esau, who was arguably one of the most wicked Jews that ever lived, you know? Now,
yeah.
Esau, if you take the letter of the name Esau, you actually get the name Yeshua. Do you know that? He appears as Esau, but he's not really Esau. And the reason he appears as Esau, because he is imprisoned in some level in Edom by the Christians. You want to know why it's so hard to the Jewish people to see Yeshua? It's because of what Christianity has done to Judaism the last 2,000 years. And now we have to do a great repair, Jews and Christians alike, to restore Yeshua back to his rightful owner. And that's what we do as an organization.
Amen. Okay, just a
couple of minutes. And I know that some of the concepts I just explained may be a bit difficult to understand. Look, I'm a Jewish rabbi. I speak as one. But
look, brother, it's okay. I do understand. Actually, what I want to express to you is my compassion for what you're doing, because we know that you're right. You know, in the United States and around the world, there is a huge movement. It goes by two different names. One, Messianic, and the other is Hebrew roots. And that's where people are going back to the roots of their faith. And they're looking at, or at least trying to, I mean, we stumble around the Torah. We can't know it without knowing what you know, in the sense of knowing, you know, what, like you said, all the words and all those things. But we are trying, and we recognize that the Jesus that most of them are putting forward, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus that can eat anything, is really does not line up with the scriptures. And there is a huge movement that does understand that. And I, for one,
and I understand that. So, you know, as an organization, what we do is we also train the Gentiles to understand what it's mean to represent Yeshua in an appropriate way. But here's my, I guess, the caution that I have as part of it. You know, you mentioned Messianic Judaism and Hebrew roots. I have a real heartburn when I hear the term Hebrew roots, and I'll tell you why. Because the scripture says the salvation is of the Jews, okay? If anything, we need to say Jewish roots. If you take the Jewishness out of Yeshua, you're in essence doing the same thing that has been done in the last 2,000 years, just in another way. That
Amen.
You are robbing Yeshua from his Jewishness. So I encourage your people to think of Yeshua as a Jewish rabbi, not just any old Jewish rabbi, as a Pharisee, not just as a Pharisee, the Pharisee of Pharisees, the ultimate example of a Pharisee. That's who was Yeshua, to be honest, if we're to be honest and true. So, look, and the other side of it, so let's now look at the Hebrew roots. A lot in happened what is right now in the Hebrew roots. Is a lot of people are getting interested in the festival and the feast and want to learn about Torah, but there is a caution here. Because if you do not learn the Torah in appropriate way from the appropriate people, you might misrepresent again Yeshua in a wrong way. I cannot tell you how many times I talk to Jewish people, and you know, we deal with Orthodox Jews, and they see Gentiles who call themselves Torah observants. And they are perverting the way that us Jews do things. And you know what? That's also, I'm not sure what is worse. If this is worse, or it's worse saying nothing about the Torah. Both are dangerous. That's why I really believe that it's important right now for Jewish people who love the Lord, who love the Torah, who love the Mashiach, to teach the nations appropriately and in an appropriate way how to, you know, Zechariah, the prophet says, the 10 Gentiles will hold the tzitzit of the Jew. Not to compromise the Torah, but at the same time to find the Mashiach. That is important. Because I'll give you a picture. You know, what do you think will happen when millions of Gentiles will start observing the festivals in Israel among the Jewish people?
Okay, hold that thought. We've got to go for a break. And really, I'm actually in agreement with you more than what you probably know, because I know we'll just talk about it when we come back. But please give your website so people can look at it during break and see where the book's at.
The website for the book is kosherpig.org. And we also have a weekly, regular Torah teaching available to the world at ahavatami.org. Both sites are available for you.
Okay, folks, we'll be back with much more from Rabbi Shapira in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back. Behold,
This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. It's summertime. People are coming in with cuts, bruises, open wounds, all kinds of things, and they need first aid. We're slack in having the money to get all the things that we need. We also need Bibles, folks. We need a lot of things. We need your support. Summer times is one of the worst times of the year for donations because, I don't know, people are off doing other things or whatever, but pray about a donation for the homeless and poor for the Wichita Mission Church. And yes, I am trying to get through this pretty quickly because I'm really excited about tonight's guest. Anyway, so we folks, remember, we are responsible to care one for another as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a radio donation. Because remember, we sell nothing. We're a ministry that we sell nothing. The only reason that we're on the air is because people donate to us so that we can pay for airtime. So pray about that. We really do need your support for airtime, as technically it's all due tomorrow. So you can donate online or mail a check or money order. And you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. Okay, or you can call me. Now, I want to point something out as I'm bringing him back on. This program, folks, you know, over and over, we have brought many, many guests on that have talked about replacement theology. And, you know, we've talked to people that say that in order to understand things properly, you really have to look at it from the point of view of the people that wrote the book. You know, you can't read a book about Indians when you look at it from a cowboy point of view. Our guest tonight is probably one of the best guests ever to actually put this in perspective. And two different things. I also want to make a clarification. I, as a minister, claim to be Messianic, which means I look at things as Messianic Judaism from the point of view of the Jew. Hebrew Roots movement is all over the place. They try to do different feast days and everything than Israel does. As you know, folks, we keep the feast along with Israel. So having said that, I'm really glad to bring back on with us Messianic Rabbi Ishaq Shapira. Back to you, Rabbi.
It's great to be back with you guys. It's such a blessing. Thank you for having me.
It's a blessing to have you, brother. You may pick up where you left off.
So let me just continue. I think everybody has to ask themselves the question, really, what does it mean for us in those last days? Look, we wrote The Return of the Kosher Pig, and I was actually shocked that so many non-Jewish people would want to read this book about what the rabbis have to say about the Messiah. Okay, it was definitely a shocker to me. I did not expect it or anticipate it. And I ask and I seek counsel from the Lord, what does that mean? And one of the things that I understood that it's meant is, by the way, this weekend we released the book in Spanish after years of work, and in September it's released in Hebrew in Israel. And one of the things I understood is, and I'll use an analogy of surfing. You know, when you're a surfer, you don't pick any old wave, you know. You're waiting for a perfect wave. And right now, there is a perfect wave that is coming. God is going to deal with the Jewish people. And he's going to use the Gentiles to provoke the Jewish people to jealousy, just as he's promised. And he's preparing a perfect wave for the nations worldwide to be able to basically to take us all the way to this to the line, to the safety line. And this thing is brewing. Let me tell you, this last 2 years I visited dozen countries, and what I see, you know, anywhere from Malaysia, Indonesia, Singapore, South America, Europe, although the cultures are different, I sense that there's a similar spirit right now, that God is raising a remnant of believers who are truly want to graft themselves in the last days, truly to the Jewish people and to the Jewish Messiah. So that is exciting to see. So we ask God, you know, after the return of the Kosher Pig success, what does it mean to us? And we launch a school, a yeshiva, to enable and equip the nations to learn. You know, anybody can use terms, I'm a Torah observant, or I keep Shabbat, but really at the end of the day, it's if I talk to you and I bring 10 other guys, well, go and get different answers. Judaism have something that is called halakha. Halakha is a way we practice our faith. And through the Brit HaChadashah and through our sages, I believe that there is such a thing as a messianic halakha that has to be formed. So, you know, myself and several other rabbis who see the need and see the hunger put together a school by the name of Shuvu. Shuvu meaning in Hebrew to return, to back to your original state, to your starting point. Shuvu, and people can look it up online, Shuvu, shuvu.tv, is a program of deal with the issue of identity. How much Torah should the Gentile should keep? How? What should they should or should not do, etc., etc.? Those type of things. How to become a big player and a major player in the last days as all of Israel is getting ready to be saved, etc., etc., etc. You see, the Jewish people have been robbed of the Messiah. But don't feel so bad to the Jewish people, because guess what? The nation have been robbed from the context of the Messiah, the setting of the Messiah. It's almost like I'm giving you a book and I tell you, and it's a murder novel, and I tell you, go tell me who killed who. So you turn to the last page of the book and you know who killed who. But then I tell you, okay, tell me the plot of the story. And it's like a real hard time. Well, when we Jews, you know, we know the plot really, really good. We just need to flip to the last page to know who killed who, you know? Both sides have a different restoration path, and it's equally dependent of each other to help, so to speaking, to each other to turn the page to this final page of the story. So, you know, we are seeing a real revival. I see an increased revival among Jewish people, Orthodox Jewish people, who are willing to talk to us about the Messiah, about Yeshua. And at the same time, I see the nations just on fire. I've been just literally last week in Colombia, where we have had an event that was actually the week before with Shavuot, kind of continue after Shavuot, and it was incredible. We had the entire Jewish Orthodox Jewish community with us Messianic Jews together in the same room, worshiping Shavuot. And the reason that they could do it, although they knew we believe that Jews decided, because there was something in common, and this thing that is common is something that we call the Torah. The Torah is something that we all both hold to the highest values. There is a common denominator. You see, if you remove this common denominator, then there is no foundation. There is nothing to talk about, in essence.
Right, absolutely. And that's one of the biggest, issues that brought me to my belief. You know, when I came out of the world, I read the Bible, and, you know, in the New Testament, it talked about, you know, not being under law and, you know, like the Torah was being done away with. But I didn't get that. That's what I got from the church. When I read the Bible just on my own without being churched, I understood that you needed the whole book, and I realized by reading I read the New Testament after I read the Old Testament that, you know, those things hadn't been done away with. And so,
I think King Solomon said it best. King Solomon said, there is nothing new under the sun. And, you know, I'm just thinking about your story, about what you're sharing. A couple of months ago, I was invited to speak in a church, which rarely I speak in churches, but it happened to be that I did. And I asked the audience to turn with me to the book of Leviticus. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that some of the people in the audience had a hard time finding Leviticus. So I asked the question, what's the matter with you? Why can't you find Leviticus? He said, because we call those the yellow pages. Those are the sticky pages, because we never go there, and therefore we cannot find it. Well, guess what? When you study Jewish hermeneutics, you find out that there's a few rules to Jewish hermeneutics, okay? Let me briefly give your audience two rules that I think that are really, really important. One of them, it says this, all the words of the prophets have prophesied only for the good days of the coming of the Messiah. In essence, what the rabbis suggested to us, that every word of prophecies, every word of prophecy, is given for one thing, so we know who is the Messiah, so we can reconstruct his portrait. Well, let me ask you a question, Pastor. Who is the greatest prophet who ever lived?
Yeshua.
In your opinion. Well, that's not what the Scripture says. You know what? Scripture says that there was no greater prophet than Moses in Israel.
Oh, okay.
You realize that? In the end of book of Deuteronomy, it says that the greatest prophet in Israel is Moses, okay? Okay, well, check it out. Here's the interesting thing about this. If this is true and the greatest prophet is Moses, that means that the Torah is the greatest book of prophecy. And we need to treat the Torah not as something old, but as the greatest book of prophecy. It's not old because it's contained truly a prophecy. The second principle of Jewish hermeneutics goes like that. In Hebrew we say, which literally means in English, what has happened, going to happen again. History repeats itself. Do you want to know what's going to happen in the future? Study Torah. It will tell you exactly word for word the things that are about to happen in the future. You just need to know how to look at that. In a Greek and a Roman thought, you look at the Bible in a very linear way. Well, think about the Hebrew and the Jewish calendar. It is cyclical. Everything is cyclical. So we must look and train our eyes to read the prophets of Israel, Moses, even Yeshua himself, to understand them through a cyclicality rather than a linearity.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we reread the Torah over and over every year, and you know, there's so much screams out of us that we see different every year. And you know, while we have concordances and things to look it up, we do try to look at as best that we can as being Gentiles from the point of view of the Jew, you know,
that's why I was absolutely shocked, though. That's what was the big surprise for me. You know, when we launched the yeshiva, we have had in 1 year hundreds and hundreds of students worldwide. I did never anticipate so many Gentiles who really want to graft themselves to the Jewish people. It's absolutely amazing. And if anything else, I think everybody needs to be excited and understand that Paul said that one of the conditions for the coming of the Messiah, he gave two conditions. One of them has to do with the Jewish people, one of them has to do with the Gentiles. The event that he called the fullness of the Gentile is happening right now in front of our eyes, and it's really exciting. You see, the church misunderstood the term the fullness of the Gentiles. The fullness of the Gentiles does not mean the full number of the Gentiles. The term Melo Agoim, the fullness of the Gentiles, is used in the Talmud and the Oral Law. It's used in the Torah in Isaiah, and it's also used in Genesis 49. And this term, fullness of the Gentiles, actually speak about a qualitative understanding, not a quantitative understanding. And what's happening right now among the nations is a fulfillment of a prophecy that will spark the coming of the Messiah. And I want your audience who is not Jewish to hear what I'm saying right now. The faster you can get it, the faster you can understand it, the faster you can graft yourself in, the faster Messiah is going to return. You are holding half of the equation for the coming of the King. It is important that we leave the foolishness behind and graft ourselves in these last days. That's why the Gentiles and Jewish people. Well, Paul wants to continue going Romans 11:16 and said the other equation, piece of the equation, is the Jewish people. He said that if the first fruit is holy, so will be the entire body, the entire loaf. So this word there in Hebrew for the first fruit is the word teruma. And if you well versed in the Torah, you know that the term teruma is actually a specific number. It's a number of 2%.
Right.
Paul is saying when 2% of the Jews call upon him, Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai, the other 98 will be saved. You see this principle throughout the Torah. Throughout the Torah. As an example, in Numbers 30, when God said to Moses to take 12,000 Jewish men out of 600,000 to fight the Midianites. And what happened? Not a single Jew died in the war. Why is it? Because if you divide 12,000 divided by 600,000, it's 2%. Again, it's a prophetic picture of the things to come. So we must work together, and we have different paths, but those paths going to lead us to become the builder of the same city if we're truly listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And I have believed for some time now that seeing the Gentiles, you know, wanting the Torah, wanting to understand, that it was a prophetic event. Not as much with the kosher, let me say this, the Hebrew roots are, there are a lot of people all over the place with teachers that don't know it. Some are truly looking towards the Jewish people. Not all of them are. But the point is those that are trying to grasp onto the Jew and see it from their point of view, it is truly astounding at what we are finding. Back to you, brother.
And that is the season. It is happening in front of our eyes. I am rejoicing in this. And when I see the nations and even the pastors like yourself having a program that are willing to put on your lips the word Torah. But please understand something. When we are talking about grafting in, it's not just simply Torah. There is a very dangerous movement right now in the Gentile world that's called the Torah for the Nation. The message is not the Torah to the nation. That's not it. Paul says to the nation specifically, he said, you were estranged from the covenant of promise. And he used the term covenant in plural because there is more than a Torah. There is an Abrahamic, Mosaic, Davidic, and the New Covenant. All four covenants according to Romans chapter 9 given exclusively to the Jewish people. But through the blood of the Messiah, the nations can now come in and partake of those covenants.
Amen.
So think about it. Think about 2,000 years that the nation said, we don't want those covenants. What a slap in the face it is to the true Jewish Messiah. So now the nation have to want to desire to return to those covenants. As they return to the covenants, the Geula, as we say in Hebrew, the redemption is near and it is upon us. And I'm excited because I believe we will see Messiah in our lifetime.
Yeah, amen. I absolutely agree. And what you done, and by you bringing forth what you did, you are in that prophecy. You have been called to do this for this time.
But Pastor, I don't want to be a bench warmer. I'm saying to God, put me in today. I want to be in the game, and I pray that everyone who listen to this program, Jew or Gentile alike, ask God the question, what role does he have for me in those last days? I promise you one thing, that he doesn't want you to be a bench warmer. He wants you in the game.
Yeah, amen. And that's the point. And, I, you know, we tell with so many people, you know, if you, the Father's waiting for people. He's got applications basically for you to go to work. You just have to have the willingness to do it, and he'll use you if you truly follow him instead of all of this worldly stuff. You know, I mean, we're seeing in the Gentile world, and here in America, and I know that you probably notice it, but the things like the gender thing, you know, the homosexual marriage, all these things. And if they, what happened 20, 30 years ago, that would be unheard of in the Gentile world.
Yes.
Because we know those things are wrong from the Bible. But we've got to scratch our head. Is anybody even reading the Bible?
Yeah, but you know, Pastor, I want to encourage you on one point on this, and maybe encourage everybody on the gloom and doom. Here is what it says. In the Talmud, in the Oral Law in Sanhedrin 97, it states that the generation when Mashiach will come, it will be equivalent to the generation of Noah. Meaning, it's going to be dark. It's going to be very, very dark. The more darkness that you see, the greater the opportunity to spread the light today on the dark, because the darker it is, the better beacon you see the light. In Isaiah 60, the prophet challenges with the word, arise and shine. And this is an opportunity for us, actually, especially because this darkness, what I see all over the world, you know, I'm going to very, very dark places, and I see clearly that God divided the line between those who are for him and for his Messiah, it says in Psalm 2, and those who are against him. And it is amazing. Every place I see darkness, Pastor, I also see a great light. And the light always will match darkness. And that is something that is comforting and important for us to remember.
Amen. Just last week at our mission church, I pointed out that, you know, if you light a match in a bright room, it doesn't seem very bright. But if you turn out the lights and light that match in a dark room, how bright does that light seem?
That is exactly right. So I encourage everybody to keep on seeking the opportunities, you know. The opportunities are there, and the time is near. We all need to do our part. The faster the nations can get it right and return Yeshua back, help to pave the way to return back to his rightful owner, the Jewish people, the faster he can return. The key right now is with the nations.
Amen. Okay, I've got a couple of questions for the people that I know that they're going to ask. Number one, you mentioned Torah portions. Where can they get those?
Oh, fantastic. So God has given us a vision of reaching thousands upon thousands of people and giving him opportunity to study Torah, but through the lens of Messiah. So we have launched just a few months ago, completely free of charge, and I know people probably get excited about that, free of charge, a mobile app. It's available both on Android and available also on iPhone. Every week, video lessons straight to them, hundreds upon hundreds of lessons of fantastic teachings. It's available. Just go and download Ahavat, A-H-A-V-A-T, I mean A-M-M-I, in Google App Store or on the iTunes Store. It's available every week. They're getting a fresh lesson. We had already thousands upon thousands of downloads of these things worldwide. So that's number one. For those who are serious about what I talked about, being discipled, going through a training program, I encourage you to check out Shuvu, shuvu.tv. That will be a great program, but that is an extensive program that is available online. So that will be two resources that I highly recommend.
Okay. I already found the link for the mobile app. I already found that, and I've sent it out to some of my close friends. But I'm gonna post it. But let me say this real quick, because we only got a few minutes. Could you please send me a link, possibly to that school, and make it easier for me, and then I will advertise that also. Back to you. You've got about 3 minutes.
Of course. Yes, that will be not a problem. I'll be happy to do that.
Well, amen. Well, brother, please leave us with some final words. You got about 2 minutes. Give them your website again and any final word.
Let me leave you with the final word from the scripture. In the scripture, I call it the famous feud. It's a feud between Jacob and Esau. Who is going to be born first? It actually ended up being Esau who was born first. The rabbis teach us that Jacob actually was dead in the womb. Jacob is a picture of Israel. We know that his name was changed to Israel. The question is, how was Jacob was born? Interesting thing, although they fought with each other, Esau and Yaakov, it was Yaakov who held the heel of Esau. And the rabbi says it's through Esau pushing through that Yaakov was able to be born again. Christianity represents today Esau. Judaism represents Yaakov. When you today, Christians, pull through, push out, you will not just help your understanding, you will help Yaakov to turn to be Israel again and for Israel to be everything that God intended him to do. So I plead with everybody, Christian, to hear this today. Help us to bring back the Messiah by taking upon yourself the role of breaking out and breaking through. May you have the power of the one who break out and break through upon yourself. The word in Hebrew to break out is the word poretz. It's the same word in Gematria for the word shalom, the Prince of Peace. As you break out today and you break through, the Prince of Peace will come back. I pray this upon you. This is the time that God wants each one and every one of you to break out.
Well, amen. Thanks so much for being on with me, my brother. I'm going to keep in touch with you, and I'm going to advertise your thing. Just wonderful.
And I hope it was a blessing for everybody. And, of course, keep us in prayer as well.
Okay. Goodbye and shalom to you, brother.
Shalom, shalom. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, folks, that's kosherpig.org. A lot of things seems as a twist. You know, you should look at the points of view of what we were talking about tonight. I think on both sides of the coin, of course, he says that the Jews will receive Messiah. We've said that over and over. Of course, no one gets into to the Father but through the Son. Amen. That's predominant. This is an end time thing that's going on. Be blessed that we live in this time. Anyway, folks, remember the 4th of July is Monday. Celebrate Independence Day. You may not have many more Independence Days or have your independence. Anyway, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do really need your help. Pray about that. Also, please pray about supporting radio. You're hearing these messages from radio, and I know so many of you can get everything for free, but the people that put these out, it isn't free. I mean, I have to pay for radio airtime. I have to pay, most of you hear, a lot of you hear this on Podomatic. That is due. I need almost $1,000 to pay for that come the 16th, or there will be no Podomatic anymore, and those archives will just go away. Sure, you'll still get the live radio programs, but that's not the same as the archives that now you all like to listen to on your phones. Anyway, you must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua, HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, 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 I can't say it enough, be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time with Messiah's Branch.